Imagine a man sort of caught between two worlds. One is, you know, mundane reality, full of expectations, desires maybe not met. And the other, a really vibrant inner world. We're talking goddesses, ancient priests, this dream of writing an immortal novel.
That's quite the contrast.
Isn't it? Today, we're doing a deep dive into this story, the compelling story of Azad. He's a writer, and his personal life just becomes the fabric of his art.
And central to this is his search for his ultimate muse.
Exactly. A figure he actually calls Zingara.
Okay.
So our mission here is to unpack the layers of Azad's journey. We'll trace it from like a distant crush all the way to these really profound philosophical thoughts he has on love, art, truth itself.
And the big question lurking underneath is, what does it take?
Yeah, what does it take to create something truly lasting, especially when your vision keeps getting slammed by, well, messy reality and complex relationships?
It's the eternal struggle for an artist, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
And our sources today are pretty unique. It's a mix of personal reflections, intimate conversations, deep internal monologues.
So we get a really unfiltered look inside his head.
That's the idea. An unfiltered view into Azad's mind and the world he's trying so hard to capture.
It sounds like an extraordinary window into how an artist works, really. We should probably start at the beginning with Helen.
Right, Helen. Tell us about her.
Well, she works at a bakery, and Azad develops this long-standing, almost spiritual fascination with her. For 2 years, he watches her from his dinner shop across the way.
2 years, just watching.
Pretty much. And what's really striking is how he sees her. He compares her to the Sumerian goddess Inanna.
Inanna, wow, like the ancient goddess of love and war.
Exactly. He pictures her under a fir tree in Abzu, the mythical underworld. It's this incredibly layered image he builds.
That's intense. For someone working in a bakery, he builds this whole mythology around her. Mm. But how does he square that with, you know, real life?
Well, that's the thing. Their actual interactions are fleeting, formal.
Like, what can I get for you? And thanks, that kind of thing.
Precisely. So there's this huge gap, this chasm between his inner world, his perception, and the very mundane reality of their encounters.
Leaves him breathless, the outline says, longing for more.
Yes, that tension is absolutely key to understanding Azad. He's spinning this epic tale inside his head while reality is just brief and formal.
And this intensifies as he's about to leave the city. He's lived there 12 years.
Right. As his departure looms, he finds himself surprisingly stuck, tethered. His mind gets consumed, not just by Helen, but specifically by Helen and Inanna's eyes.
Helen and Inanna's eyes, that's specific.
It is. And this intense, almost obsessive feeling sparks a big idea.
Okay, let me guess. The novel.
You got it. He decides to channel all this intense, unrequited feeling into writing a novel.
Titled Mad in Inanna's Eyes.
Exactly. And his plan, to actually give it to Helen.
Wow. Talk about an epic gesture. Like a modern-day love letter, but, you know, book length.
It really is. But as he starts writing, he hits this huge realization. Something fundamental about society that just shakes him up.
What's that?
This realization is critical to understanding Azad's whole outlook. He feels society expects him to be all these things. A good father, husband, son, friend, worker, artist, citizen.
The list goes on.
Right. But never just Azad. And definitely not, first and foremost, a novelist.
So the artist part is kind of pushed to the side.
He feels society values tangible things, service, labor, over what it sees as the time-wasting pursuit of art and literature. It's a deep critique of how worth is measured.
That's a profound disconnect he's feeling, isn't it? This observation then pushes him even deeper.
Yeah, it leads to this insight that the normal life presented to him feels like a big lie.
A big lie. What does he mean by that?
He looks around and sees people acting like, well, enemies, even killers, and everyone just accepts this as normal.
That's pretty bleak.
It is. And he contrasts this with his own ideal world where, you know, a simple request should be enough. It highlights this clash between living based on power versus living based on virtue.
Okay, so faced with this big lie, what does he do? How does he try to protect himself from this societal trap he perceives?
Well, his resolution is basically to forge his own path, to find a way to navigate this world, but stay true to his own inner vision.
And part of that involves someone else.
Yes, he takes a crucial step. He decides to introduce the first part of his novel to Sophie. She works at an ice cream stand.
Sophie, okay. Another woman working a service job.
Right. And he acknowledges her role, saying she helped resurrect a Sumerian priest. He also tells her he's leaving in 3 months and wants to sort of unburden himself before he goes.
And Sophie, what's her story? It sounds like she opens up to him, too.
She does. She shares this incredibly tough past. Raised in an orphanage, suffered abuse there, rejected by her biological father, abandoned by her mother.
That's a lot for anyone to carry.
Absolutely. Her only real joy, she says, is her son, Luca. And her past relationships sound terrible, too, especially with Luca's father, Ferry, a taxi driver.
What happened there?
Ferry apparently became abusive after a car accident. So, yeah, her life has been filled with hardship.
How does Azad react to all this? This raw, really dramatic life story?
He sees it as, well, perfect material, fodder for his immortal novel.
So he sees her life through the lens of his art.
Immediately. He identifies her with Zingara, that symbolic figure for him, representing purity, new beginnings.
He's projecting again, isn't he? Like with Helen, but maybe even more intensely.
You could say that. He's not just documenting, he's elevating her story. He creates this powerful image, gives her this quote, "Life is just a play. Coburg is a small stage for me. Everyone else is an amateur. I will never let Zingara die."
He actually wrote that down and gave it to her, framed.
Yes, a framed copy. It's this huge promise he's making, both to her and perhaps to himself and his art.
It's a massive idealization. But does that set him up for a fall? Because her life sounds like it's still pretty chaotic.
That's the crux of it. Despite Azad's efforts to, as he sees it, save Sophie from her current life, which involves a partner named Davood, who gambles and has legal troubles, other dodgy acquaintances like Mario.
She struggles to break free.
Deeply inconsistent is how he perceives it.
Yeah.
She often comes to Azad for help, for money, maybe for Luca's rabbit, maybe for lawyer fees.
But she doesn't cut ties with Davood.
No. And Azad starts feeling frustrated, even manipulated.
It sounds like the classic clash between the artist's ideal and, well, messy human reality.
Exactly. And this tension really comes to a head at one point. Sophie shows up with a bruise.
Oh, no.
She claims Davood did it. Azad is naturally deeply troubled. He urges her, really pushes her, to cut ties completely.
Does he offer her a way out?
He does. He even offers her a job. Calls her an employer at this internet cafe he plans to open, but he makes a demand.
What's that?
Break contact completely with Davood, with her old connections.
And she...
She refuses. It just shows this complex, almost gravitational pullback to her old life, despite everything.
That must have been crushing for Azad's vision of her as Zingara.
It leads to this growing disillusionment, absolutely. He becomes increasingly aware of what he sees as her manipulation, her inability, or maybe unwillingness to embody the Zingara ideal he built for her.
Does he blame her for ruining his artistic vision?
He starts to feel she's corrupted it, yeah. He even thinks about abandoning the novel entirely at this point.
That's drastic.
He observes her trying to use him, he thinks, for her own ends. He even gets this idea that she wants to get control of his internet cafe, maybe to give to Davood as some kind of love token.
Wow, so it really sours. Yeah. But that's a painful betrayal of the faith he placed in her, both personally and artistically.
It really is. Mm. But Azad's own journey, his landscape, it's shaped by more than just his relationships. There are physical and emotional factors, too.
Like what?
Well, there's his lame leg, a physical challenge he carries, which adds another layer to his struggle.
Right, that's mentioned.
And we see him attending the New Rose celebration in Hanover.
New Rose, yeah. That's the Kurdish New Year, right? A big cultural event.
Exactly. It's profoundly significant, a freedom and liberation holiday for Kurds, symbolizing new birth, resistance.
How does he connect with that?
For Azad, it's not just cultural. He sees it as a new process, starting in his own life, deeply tied to his mad novel. It's like a personal and artistic rebirth for him.
A symbolic anchor for his own story. And amidst all this personal and artistic turmoil, he still has this practical dream, the internet cafe.
Yes, yeah. He really wants to open an internet cafe in Coburg. It's a definite shift away from his past, which involves more physical labor.
And his family plays a role in this.
A huge role.
Yeah.
Especially his older brother, Hikmet. Azad sees him as a childhood superhero.
A superhero.
Yeah, someone who's always supported him financially. Hikmet actually provides the funds for the cafe, sending money from Switzerland.
That's incredible support. It sounds like family is really important to him.
Absolutely foundational. His family provides these deep layers of support. Beyond Hikmet, his younger brother Keenan shows up for a surprise visit with his daughters, Sultan and Baravan. It shows real family affection.
Nice.
But there's also challenging history there, too, with his ex-wife Seema.
What happened with Seema?
Their daughter, Baravan, was actually taken into care for a time because of Seema's struggles. And Azad fought really hard, determinedly, to get custody back.
So, despite everything, he's deeply committed as a father.
Very much so. And the family web extends further. His sister, Songul, she's the one who originally brought him to Germany.
Ah.
They shared a tough childhood, overcoming hardship, even orphanhood, apparently. So there's this deep shared history between them.
It paints a picture of a complex but really supportive network.
It does. And even friends offer support. Shengul, who's the wife of his friend Ali, she seems to really understand his artistic struggles, validates them. She even calls him mad and a goddess in a supportive way, apparently.
Yeah.
And hearing about his struggles inspires her to confront her own husband about suspected infidelity.
Wow. So his intensity kind of ripples outwards.
It seems so. Yet alongside this support, Azad is also deeply haunted by the past.
What kind of past events?
He carries these vivid traumatic memories from Turkey, specifically a military coup in 1980.
The 1980 coup, a major event.
Yes. And he remembers a market fire connected to it, where people tragically died. This memory, it gets tied up in his mind with his childhood love for books, even the binding of books.
How strange. Books and a deadly fire.
It seems to underscore for him the fragility of life, of happiness. He recalls his early passion for reading, even selling books as a kid.
And he had ambitions even then.
Oh, yeah. A childhood dream of becoming a famous writer. Like Goethe.
Goethe. Aiming high.
And get this. His goal was apparently to surprise the Germans by actually surpassing Goethe.
What an ambition. Especially for a kid selling books after witnessing trauma. It speaks volumes about his drive.
Absolutely. So, fast forward back to his current struggles. His vision for Zingara, embodied by Sophie, has become, well, corrupted in his eyes.
Right. She couldn't live up to the ideal.
And then a new figure enters his life. Duru.
Duru. Another woman at the bakery.
Yes. Working at the bakery. And her voice immediately reminds him of the goddess Inanna.
Again with Inanna. So Duru steps into that space.
Instantly. He perceives her as pure, honest, understanding. She seemed to embody the true spirit of Zingara that he felt Sophie had failed to uphold. Or it painted.
Is this another projection, or is there something different about Duru?
It feels different, or at least it marks a significant turning point for him, a renewal of his vision. Duru expresses genuine interest in his mad novel.
She actually engages with his art.
Yes, and that makes him feel truly understood. Seen as an artist, which maybe he wasn't feeling with Sophie.
That must be huge for him.
He starts seeing Duru as the only means to connect with the hero of his novel. He believes she has the trust, the innocence, to bring mad, the character, or the concept to life.
So she's more than just a passive muse in his head this time. She's like an active collaborator.
In a way, yes. He uses his multimedia skills, creates this stunning visual of Duru, transforms her photos into a goddess image. Apparently, it impresses everyone who sees it.
He's literally making her into the goddess he sees.
And then he decides Duru's angelic face will be on the cover of his Zingara novel. Cementing her role as his ultimate muse, the embodiment of his renewed vision.
Does she support him in other ways?
Very much so, it seems. She becomes his constant source of support, offering insights, wisdom that resonate deeply with his own evolving thoughts on life and love.
Little things, too.
Yeah, like she inscribes Zingara on a music CD for his internet cafe, just affirming that connection to his vision, his future plans.
And does she share anything of herself? Or is it all about Azad's vision?
No, she does share. There's this moment of shared vulnerability. Duru talks about her own past, reveals a secret, unfulfilled love she had with an Iraqi refugee.
So they connect on that level, too. Shared secrets, maybe shared heartbreaks.
Exactly. And finding that common ground seems to deepen their bond. It fuels Azad's determination. He's going to continue writing his immortal novel, but now with this renewed purpose, a clear, pure embodiment of his Zingara ideal in Duru.
It's quite a journey from Helen to Sophie to Duru.
It is. And through all these experiences, these relationships, these struggles, Azad develops some really fascinating philosophical ideas. They definitely challenge conventional wisdom.
Like what? Give us an example.
Okay, here's one. His paradox of immortal love. He says, saying I love you means the beginning of love being forgotten and dying.
Wow, wait. Saying I love you kills the love. That's counterintuitive.
Isn't it? He believes true immortal love is the love that stays unexpressed, held as a secret in the heart right until death.
A secret love is the only immortal one.
That's his theory. He contrasts this with Mad, the character in his novel, presumably, who made this big public declaration of love for Inanna. And because he declared it, Mad was then forced to constantly prove it.
That's a powerful idea. It completely flips our usual script about expressing love, doesn't it? If saying it starts the decline, What does that mean for real connection?
It forces you to look past the performance of love, maybe, to consider that the deepest kind is the one held inside.
What else? Any other big ideas on love?
Yeah, he also suggests love should be like the sun.
Like the sun? How so?
Giving life, warmth, everything, without condition, without expecting anything back.
Unconditional giving.
Exactly. And he warns against what he calls fake loves, the ones that demand reciprocity.
The quid pro quo kind of love.
Right. He describes those as master and slave dynamics, where one person basically breaks the other's heart to gain control. For Azad, real love, true love, is always equal, balanced, giving without strings.
So much of his journey seems to be about peeling back layers, right? Remembering who he truly is, breaking free from societal pressures, these fake loves.
That's a great way to put it. He sees his art, his novel, as a kind of battleground.
A battleground.
Yeah, where he fights to establish his true identity, to challenge that big lie of normal life he perceived earlier.
And he connects this to madness.
He does. He believes madness, like the kind you see in great inventors, innovators throughout history, is actually a gateway, a path to freedom and true innovation.
So embracing the mad artist stereotype almost, but seeing it as strength.
Precisely. It's his declaration of independence from conformity. He knows writing an immortal novel is hard. It's an ongoing battle demanding total commitment.
He sees himself as a master on life's stage.
Yes, refusing to be a toy for anyone else's narrative or expectations. He's determined to finish what he started no matter how hard it gets.
And Zingara, in the end, it's not just Duru, is it? It's become something bigger.
Exactly. It evolves beyond any single person. It becomes this ideal. A symbol of purity, strength, that new birth he felt at New Rose. It's what he wants to bring into the world through his art.
He truly believes his novel will introduce this goddess, this ideal, to the world.
That seems to be his ultimate artistic mission.
So, reflecting on all this, what does it mean for us listening to this? We've journeyed with Azad through this maze, really, inside his own head.
Yeah.
Witnessed his constant struggle, trying to square his passions with the world's demands, his deep dive into art, love, self-discovery. It really shows that the biggest battles are often internal, right?
Absolutely. And that the most profound creations, maybe the most enduring art, often comes from digging deep into our own truth, however messy or unconventional it might be.
Azad's transformation is pretty remarkable. From that guy driven by unrequited longing for Helen,
yeah,
to this artist committed to an immortal vision, a vision redefined by purity, by a genuine connection he finds with Duru. It's a powerful testament to resilience, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. The resilience of the human spirit and that deep, deep link between our inner lives and what we manage to create or put out to the world.
And it leaves us with some things to think about. Azad believed life is just a play, and that maybe true immortal love is the kind you never fully express, the kind that stays a secret in your heart.
Heavy thoughts.
Yeah. So the question for you listening might be, what secrets is your heart holding on to? What immortal story are you living out, even if maybe no one else fully gets it? And what battles are you fighting to make sure your own Zingara, your own ideal, your own truth never dies?